This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, on a Monday, hour three during the football season. It's a treat for not just us, but for you as well, because we've got Steve Fezzik, of course, professional handicapper. And I'm going to say this. We've got plenty of notes from Steve, and I did tease. He teased in his notes, I'm going to give you the secret of how to make big money in betting on sports that nobody's ever given out. So we'll get to that coming up in just a bit. Also, just a bunch of tenets you need to follow when sports betting. But I want to say this as we welcome in the boys there at the D, including Steve Fezzik, pregame.com, at Fezzik Sports with two Z's and a K on Twitter, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. If, and I'm not saying this because I'm your friend, but on Saturday, Steve Fezzik celebrated a very special day. It was his birthday. Now, again, we're going to show him on television here. If you thought he was going from 49 to 50 as a significant milestone or 59 to 60, I think most of us would put our money the way he looks right now on 49 to 50. Am I wrong, boys? That's right, right? Correct?
Correct.
I wouldn't have guessed it.
59 to 60. How does it feel, my friend? Happy birthday.
Thank you. Hey, shout out to restaurant Panavino's on Sunset Road. So local favorite Italian. I had my birthday dinner there. View of the Las Vegas Strip, Mandalay Bay, dressed up in its colors, and then the magnificence of the Strip all the way across. Great job by Panavino. I would highly recommend it.
Sunset and Las Vegas Boulevard, right?
Yeah.
It's a good spot.
Well, happy birthday, Steve. It's, you know what it is? You got in shape. It's the full head of hair. You God did you well. You're going to be okay. And also, you're pretty good at this betting thing, so let's get into it. You've got a million notes today, but why don't we just start with one of the basics that I think maybe some novice bettors may not quite conceptualize, and that is the need for multiple outs. Let's talk about the need for it and potentially how to get those outs.
Yeah, and in fact, I don't care if I get in trouble with anyone. It actually really upsets me when I hear advertising and I hear a sports book saying, we're the only sports book you'll ever need. And it would be like a restaurant that's like a salad bar saying, we're the only restaurant you ever have to go to. You know what? Maybe I want an Osso Buco. Thank you very much. In fact, if any sports book recommends that, you know, contact them and say, stop lying to everyone, because you should have a portfolio of multiple sports books, as many as you can have there. I saw there was a new sports book was coming up and they were like, are you going to add this? And like 50% said, nah, no need. I'm good. You should add every single one because you just never know, especially with all the prop menus and everything else, when someone's going to put something up that is unique, a unique number on a game you like, and you should be there to take advantage.
You know, I want to stay on this theme a little bit in terms of multiple outs. That's a very important factor because you get different numbers. But I feel like some of the books here in Vegas minus Circa are very antiquated in how they do business. I'm just saying, because I don't think people realize, right, when you say gambling, sports gambling, Patrick, people think of the epicenter of Las Vegas, and rightfully so for a long, long time. But now you see these different markets that have emerged, whether it be New Jersey, Florida, New York, whatever. Steve, it seems like to me, they're not only willing to take risk, but they have much more creativity and better betting options. And out here, they're like, hey, guys, we want you to use a landline phone while everybody else has got a cell phone for the last 20 years.
Yeah. And even so with like some of the apps, like there are certain places that have an app, but you literally have to be a computer scientist to figure out how to like two-factor authorization and the like to be able to log on and actually figure out how to make a teaser bet, as opposed to like, I love the Circa, for instance, and the Westgate. We have really good apps. Westgate has micro limits on them for many of the folks. Circa gives the full limit, you know, to pretty much everyone. So obviously Circa is my preference. Caesars does a great job, you know, with it as well in terms of the limits and, taking reasonably large limits. But more is more. The more books you can have and access to, like, look at tonight's game. Where are we going to get the best number? If we like the dog and we're going to play Denver at post, I can tell you right now, I want to be at like Treasure Island. Gold Nugget right here downtown. Tony Miller's people do a great job. You're probably going to get the best number pop up at one of those joints that caters to the recreational bettors.
And that leads us to, you said you have to have multiple outs. The reason or the impetus for having those outs is to get the best number. And that's note number two. You need to get the best of the number. And again, even if you're a better Steve that is waiting, and a lot of recreational bettors will do just this. They'll wait until Monday and Monday evening to make a Monday night bet. That's a completely different conversation. And if you want to elaborate on that, you can. But if you do have multiple outs and you wanted to bet the Bills tonight, there's an opportunity to lay seven. And if you wanted to take the Broncos tonight, there's an opportunity to take 7.5 in the market right now. So that's the importance there of having those outs.
Yeah, and I think the sevens have left the building. I saw it steam up a little while ago. You know, certainly it wouldn't surprise me if there weren't some minus seven lay $1.20s out there where you can go ahead and tease. Dustin, we got any seven minus 20s on the board?
Don't have that up at the moment.
All right, well, we'll go ahead and take a look.
I am showing, I can tell you right now, I did see one. Let me just see here, Steve. No, they're all gone. 7.5 blanketed across the board now. You're right.
Right. So, you know, I far prefer betting into a game that's 7.25. What do I mean by that? Half the books have 7, half have 7.5. So if I like the favorite, I can lay 7. I can tease that 7 down to 1 into some games that are occurring, you know, next week. If I like the dog, I grab the 7.5. Maybe an 8 pops up. So if it lands 7, if it fiddles in the middle, I push, I win. I cannot lose. But now that it's a flat 7.5 everywhere, where I'm much more less likely to have an opinion. I will say this. I'm going to pull back the curtain here. If you think that Buffalo can find a way to lose this game, so Denver to win, Denver money line is clearly the wrong bet to make. You should never bet Denver the money line. Here's why. There's a superior bet. Parlay Denver on the money line to Denver next week, laying 1.5 to Minnesota. If Denver rises up and plays so far above their power rating that their noses bleed for a week, I assure you, if they win this game, they are not going to be minus 1.5 against the Vikings. They'll probably go up to minus 3, at least to 2.5, minus 20. So if you're going to play Denver to win this game outright, in my opinion, it's indisputable. You have to parlay it to Denver next week.
Okay.
That's a good point, because the number's going to change.
Again, Steve Fezzik joining us, and we'll get into the recap from week 10 because it was crazy. But I know Amal has a follow-up on your next note as well. So let me set you guys up on this. Steve, we'll start with you and let you run. He said, let's discuss how to win sports betting for those who have always gambled but never won but really want to win. Now, it might not just be sports betting because you have gambling and not sports betting, but let's discuss how to win gambling for those who have always gambled but never won but really want to win. Go ahead, Steve.
Sure. So for those who really wanted to come out ahead, profitable, I can guarantee you that you're going to win. Okay, so here's one way to win. You go to, when you're in Vegas, you go to a craps table and you buy in for $500 and you pretend like you're figuring out what you want to bet on and you order drinks for free. And you never gamble and you get the drink for free. So every drink you're going to win, $10 that you order. Same as, you know, when you're playing video poker at a bar and you pretend to play and you don't play. Okay, that's the most simplistic way. And that's just comps, not actually winning money. Poker and blackjack are both very beatable games. Poker low limits in particular, Mal, I know you go ahead and play. Why isn't everybody doing this? If it was that easy to profit, Fez, why wouldn't everybody be playing poker? Well, guess what? Everyone can work as a manager at McDonald's also, and they'd profit at that. You know, it's grind. It's like sit around, fold, 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 fold. Amal, maybe you can elaborate on that.
You're absolutely right. Patrick, he's absolutely right. You have to have a ton of time and patience. It's not the easiest thing. You know, poker's a game where you could be a great player, but you also need to have good cards at some point in time. You can't sit there and bluff. And the one thing that Steve brings up in lower stakes, in higher stakes, you can bluff people. The money's a lot more. You put a bet in for $3,000 with 3 high. That guy's going to think 3 times before he decides to make the call. But you do that in a 1-2 or a 1-3 game, lower stakes, where a buy-in is up to $300 or $500. That guy doesn't know if he's coming or going, who you're playing against, and he just says call, and he doesn't even know what the reason he's doing it for.
Yeah, one of my favorite bluffs when I play, like, and again, it won't work at these low limit games because the guy would just call you with his pocket kings. But like, if the board has like a 4, 5, 8 on the board, and then a 6 comes, so like a 7 makes a straight, you're in your heads up. Your opponent doesn't have a 7. Just jam the pot plus a little bit extra, and he's going to go crying home to mom with his pair and fold.
Patrick, I hate to go. It's very poker centric here. I just want to give a quick follow. Perfect example. One time on Planet Aria, there's a straight on the board, but there's 3 spades. And I have the ace high flush. And so this guy in front of me bets out, and I go, I'm all in. This other guy calls, the other guy calls. They don't even understand the value of how much money they're into the hand for. It's not worth calling for a three-way chop if somebody doesn't have a flush, and they get stacked because I've got the flush in that situation. And Steve, those are the nuances in low stakes compared to high stakes. Patrick, high stakes players would be easy fold. They're like, the risk isn't worth the reward. I don't have enough invested in that particular hand to be able to justify calling off X amount of dollars. And there's so many scenarios in lower stakes where players just don't think they're married to what the situation is, as opposed to going big picture.
You know, and we're going to talk about sports betting, but we've been talking about poker because I've been emphasizing the easy way to win. Yeah. Here's the problem with sports betting. Right now, Circa has a $200,000 limit on this game on the sides. If you think that Steve Fezzik, who knows a lot about sports, can give you the winner, and you can go and bet $200,000 with a plus equity against Circa, I mean, you're delusional. I mean, obviously, what Circa's saying, friends, this number has been hammered into place. We've done the price discovery, and there's no edge. There's no edge taking 7.5, and there's no edge laying 7.5. But guess what? Our limits on all these other games are $5,000. Why would their limit only be $5,000 versus $200,000? Because they have no confidence that the numbers are right yet. They haven't discovered everything. And because of that, there's probably far better wagers to make than laying or taking 7.5 right now.
What I'm hearing from the two of you is the paradox about betting, which is betting inherently for a lot of people is that tease of an easy big score.
Yes.
But if you want to win, Steve, in a mall over the long term, it's attritional, where if you really want to win, you have to grind out the profit. It's not about that inherent easy big score.
Or you have to find something that other people aren't thinking about, like correlation. So we don't like to play parlays typically, but we'll play parlays to circumvent rules, limits when we have the edge, and to go ahead and take advantage of correlations. I gave that example of parlaying Denver this week to next week on the money line.
When we come back, Patrick, I want to ask Steve about unit betting compared to situational spots, because I have a philosophical difference on that with a lot of people, but everybody's perspective is, you know, they have their own sweet spot. So we'll get into that a little bit and get Steve's take on that.
Perfect. It's a good tease as well. Steve Fezzik coming back, professional sports handicapper, next here, Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, $120 gets you all the access you need and everything we offer at VSIN. Just go to vsin.com/subscribe. Unlimited access to the picks, top VSIN expert leaderboard. You get unlimited access to the betting splits as well. Our betting guides, college basketball underway. We've got a college basketball guide. Make sure you check it out. This all goes through March Madness, May 1st. vsin.com/subscribe. We got you back. I'm Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher, the birthday boy. Steve Fezzik, professional handicapper, two-time Super Contest winner. And as a matter of fact, taking a look at the notes, he's killing it along with his partner this year in Circa Millions. We'll get to that update in just a bit. But Amal, you went to break with a question about unit betting or flat betting approach, standardized betting. Go ahead and shoot it over there to Steve.
Yeah, Steve. So a lot of people will look at situations. They're like, let's say they've got X amount of dollars in a bankroll, and they're like, I'm going to bet a unit, maybe a unit and a half in a certain situation. I philosophically disagree with that, and it doesn't mean my way is correct or their way is correct. I think if you have certain spots that you just love a game or a team, I'm willing to take a greater risk. And I understand the argument that it can be detrimental to your bankroll if you lose. But to me, that's how you can aggressively make money as well. Where do you come out on that thought process? Because here's my argument. Max Scherzer 2016 is not the same as, Wade Miley pitching on a random Tuesday for me to sit there and justify they're both worth one unit. There might be a situational spot where Scherzer's coming in off a three-game losing streak for his team. And San Francisco, perfect example this past weekend. They had lost three in a row. I know a lot of people were on the Niners. I didn't play that game, but if I was in favor of the Niners there, I would have thought it's a great situational spot to raise the bet. I had a big bet on the Michigan Wolverines on Saturday. I thought they should have been a 7-point favorite against Penn State.
Yeah, so, you know, the question about should you flat bet or should you vary your bet sizing? So the vast majority of bettors are losing bettors, so they should flat bet, and the amount they should bet is zero. Go ahead and bet $20. Have fun. Yeah. Watch the games. It's fine. You know, it's fine. It's recreation. Amongst the true pros, I might catch flack with this. I don't care. I'm right. And everyone who does this for a living knows I'm right. Flat betting's ridiculous. You make much bigger bets when you have a big edge. Now, blackjack players, it's all very mathematical, so it's easy. Like, the count's sky high. Of course, you bet. You put out as much money as you can get away with a true count of plus six, and your edge actually isn't that big, but you do have the edge, and you want to bet more when you have the big edge. Let me give examples to prove them. I don't think anyone could disagree, but everybody does. You find out that a pitcher is on a pitch count, and he's only going to pitch 50 pitches, and his over-under strikeout is 6.5. And you've got that information that just broke, and they've got these props on a pitcher's strikeouts and if over under 15.5 outs and the like. Well, of course we don't bet a unit. You know, we bet everything we possibly can get down before that number moves. And I use that as an example, but there are dozens and dozens of examples. I would say each and every week, if you're doing this right, there should be a bet like that where you're like, I'm just going to just unload on it until the line moves or they pull it off the board. LeBron James over under, I think somebody put up, how many points is he going to average? And it was some number in the high 20s this year. And I'm not paying any attention to the NBA, but like I had a friend that's like, this is the dumbest number ever. He's going to take a reduced role. And so you're going to see bets like that. But I'm just trying to throw out examples. Obviously, unexpectedly, it starts snowing sideways, lake effect in Buffalo. And the weather forecast was good. Now it's going to snow 12 inches and it just changed. You know, maybe we might want to consider betting more than one unit on the under 47 right before the game starts.
In standardized betting, as far as unit size, like how many people have the true discipline over years and years to stick to that standardized betting system? You do get like Steve, you've been talking about it for years. You get feelings like Amal just mentioned about the Michigan play over the weekend, Amal, where you just feel like you're gonna, like, even if you did have a unit based approach for the most part, that's an opportunity for you to go above.
I completely agree with you, Patrick, and I like what Steve just said here in reference to that. To me, I think that you brought up a great point about discipline. Look, I don't know if Steve signs off on this, but I think, Patrick, you and I have talked about this. I don't think it's that hard to win, to pick a winner. Now, if you're doing it consistently over one sport, it's a little bit more difficult. But here's the question: how do you respond to a loss? Steve has talked about this with poker. I will say this is a little bit different, maybe for you than me. Patrick, when I play poker, I don't go on tilt. I go on winner's tilt. If I'm winning, I tend to play more hands than I should. But if I'm losing, dude, I play tighter than Fort Knox. I'm like, I don't understand. It's like business. Why would you throw good money after bad? You sit there and you wait. People will eventually pay you off. They just don't have the discipline to fold in certain spots. And Steve, I kind of feel that same way about sports betting. A guy that I really respect, he had lost $100,000 in a game. He says to me, he goes, everyone thought he was going to go back and bet the next day or 2 days later. He waited 9 days. Hmm. Verlander's on the bump at -130. This is Verlander at his apex. He's -130, wins the game 9-1. He goes, people don't have my discipline. He goes, can you go 9-10 days if you're firing big bets to sit and wait? Even if you're betting a lower amount, whatever the amount is. The problem is, and I talk about this all the time, best advice I ever got was a Thursday night game this past week. I think we had Virginia playing Louisville. If you didn't love the game, a friend of mine goes to me, he goes, if you're going to bet this game on Thursday, he goes, would you bet this game on Saturday? And he goes, if you're not, he goes, why the hell are you betting it on Thursday?
Because on Thursday, when it's the standalone game,
yes.
If everyone's dealing 18, I don't even remember, yeah. or 10, I don't even remember what the spread was on that game, that you might catch an 11. Yeah. That's the difference, and you don't get that on a Saturday. I will say, as far as people talk about Kelly Criterion, bet proportional to your edge. And a lot of people now say bet half the Kelly. And the reason they say half Kelly is that sports bettors, it's very hard to estimate exactly what your edge is on certain bets, especially in a game like the Michigan-Penn State, where it may be, it's obvious after the fact, but there was plenty of sharp people that were like, oh, Penn State, Harbaugh's out, you know, there's issues, and we could debate back and forth, you know, but I'm a huge believer, if you're stepping it up and you're betting way more on some bets, you better damn well have closing line value, CLV, that if on average on your bigger bets, if you look at what's available at post versus what you wagered, you absolutely better be getting the better number.
But to Patrick, to Steve's point on the coaching thing, I was on with Newhouse on Friday morning. I asked him, if Harbaugh gets suspended today, how much of a difference does it make? He goes, none. He goes, the game plan is in place. I asked a friend of mine who was a former defensive coordinator. He said it makes no difference in terms of the game plan based on when the suspension took place. He goes, had it been on a Monday, it might have changed things a little bit more, but in terms of what their goal and what their role is, nothing was impacted, and we saw it. I think they took a little bit more conservative approach in that second half because – they were like, hey, we don't need to squander this game. I can't remember the last time you saw a team where weather wasn't a factor not attempt to pass in the second half of a game.
By the way, I have a rant here. And, you know, sometimes on this stuff, I feel like that chick, Cassandra, during the Trojan Wars, when she's like, the Greeks are in this horse. Don't let the horse. And everyone just blows her off and doesn't talk. You know, doesn't care what she says, even though she can see the future. Any coach out there, anyone who works for a team anywhere in the country, how hard is this, Dustin, when your player scores a touchdown, he is to run to the middle of the end zone, possessing the ball. He is to hand the ball to the referee, and then he is to sprint to the sideline. And then I don't care if he wants to pretend it's like he's in Rio during, you know, the bead celebration with his players. Because if you did what I did on every touchdown, you would never fumble on the one, and you would never, you know, get flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct for 15 yards. Why isn't that the rule with each and every team, and why don't they just practice it?
I don't know, but the true dichotomy of Steve Fezzik is that very logical take on not fumbling before the end zone, and assuming we all know who's Cassandra?
She's the chick that could see the future during the Trojan Wars. You know, the big Greek Trojan, you know, horse that they wheeled into Troy and then they conquered Troy.
Of course.
It never would have worked because they had like a 100-foot high wall that was bigger than the wall that kept out King Kong. I don't know why they built the door so big in that. I digress. But the point is that if I built a wall 50 feet high to keep out a gorilla, I would not have a 50-foot high door. But going back to Troy, Cassandra could see the future, and she like warned everybody that was her gift, that she could see the future, but her curse was no one listened to her.
By the way, you're referring,
and how often do you think about the Roman Empire, Steve Fezzik? want to tell you all a bit of breaking, this is breaking news for us here. We have gone, DraftKings has gone to 8-1-10. So Steve, to your point, there are no sevens remaining because DraftKings just officially gone from 7.5 to 8 tonight with Buffalo.
So again, it's +8 -110 in each direction. Correct. So it's
110 right now. Buffalo 8.
Okay, this 110. This language I don't speak. You know, is it -8 -110 with +8 -110? So it's, they're dealing 8. Correct.
Yeah, 110 up and down.
There you go. Always say -110. I hate it when people are too cool for school. I always talk with Gil about this, and they go, oh yeah, the line's like 3 even, and it's like, what the heck does that mean? Like, maybe I'm the dumbest sports bettor in the world. I want to hear if it's -3. -100. I don't want to hear even. I want to hear that. That's the way I want to heard it. It be explained to me, because otherwise mistakes get made all the time when people are too cool for school and they're talking about even and the team's favorite. And they're like, oh, that team's 5. No, they're -5. Say the minus. That way everyone understands. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. -8, -110. I certainly am not trying to be too cool for school. Just letting you know that they have gone off of 7.5 up to 8. So Buffalo laying 8 over at DraftKings, where you guys are sitting right there. Circa still showing Buffalo 7.5, 47.5 on the total.
The value okay, of having multiple books right there. So if I had
there
to make a
is.
Bet, gun to my head, I would parlay the +8, lay $1.10 on Buffalo, on Denver, and I would parlay it to next week's Denver -1.5 against Minnesota.
They've got a gun to your head. Tell them, hold on, we're gathering the ransom.
Okay, when we return, Steve Fezzik continues. You actually have a conversation about -110 and why it guarantees they will win huge once the market is mature. That he'd be in the books. Also, a little contest update from Steve. He's killing it at Circa.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we got to take a break. Talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. You can find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. As a warning, this product does contain nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. The birthday boy, Steve Fezzik, professional handicapper, is here. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. I'm going to let you run with these 10 minutes, but quickly, how about a props to you? Contest update. You're one game out of first in the Circa contest. Explain.
Yeah, so Circa Millions have been running better than God in terms of the Plinko games. It could go in do-do-do-do-do and could go in either direction. So far, so good. I've actually had a winning record each and every week for 10 straight weeks, so I believe I'll be tied for second. And so far, so good. Going to be an exciting second half of the year.
That's incredible. How many entries to start, just for those that don't know?
5,300.
So you're in the mix, and he likes to poo-poo it because back then there weren't as many entrants. However, they were sharp, all of them. I think he beat over 300 people two straight years in the super contest. You like to poo-poo that, but I always like to give you props on that.
Mike Matisau, poker player, once said it best during the main event. He's like, this is 2004. He's like, ain't going to be easy to get all the chips. Got to beat 5,000 other people and beat them all. So going to have to run better than God to make it happen.
Let's do this. Let's let your savant like mind run the rest of the time here in the segment. You said, I want to give you guys the secret of how to make big money betting sports that no one has ever given out before. And this has to do with finding a hidden gem.
Yeah. So you can make money subscribing to sports services. I'm with pregame.com. By the way, if anyone's ever selling my picks to you, and going, if you're going to my site, that's not me. I don't have a site. I'm only at pregame. I'm sorry. That's a fraud. So if you want to get my picks, you go to pregame.com. There's plenty of other people with documented winning records, including but not limited to Brad Powers, Tailgate Tent, Dr. Bob, Right Angle Sports. There's many, many outstanding people. But now herein is the problem. You have to be extremely diligent, because when any of us release a play, more often than not, the line is going to move. And probably the king of the line moves is Right Angle Sports, right, where you blink and he's going to say set it up or cancel, and as soon as he says go, if it's a go, it's going to move 2 points in 2.3 seconds, if not less. So it's extremely difficult to get down. There's no time to shop. You just got to fire in and be very, very good, and hopefully have outs that don't go ahead and kick you out for playing it. But imagine this, Patrick. Somewhere out there in the universe of the internet, there are the next Dr. Bob's and the next Right Angle Sports that nobody knows about. They're just quietly putting up plays, documented winners, but they only have like a couple hundred followers. Those are the guys that you should be spending lots of time trying to find, because think how good this is. You know, you get a guy, you go to the gym, you work out, you get a nice lunch, you come back, boom, you pull up Mr. Anonymous and you get his five plays. And what's this? None of them have moved yet because he's under the radar. And so you can shop it. You can get the best numbers on it. If you can discover guys like that, they're pure gold compared to guys that even as documented winners, you look at, like, I always use the VSiN Invitational, for instance. By Friday, I mean, you've got a whole bunch of professional sports bettors trying to win on Friday, and they're flipping coins. It's not their fault. I was well below 500 when I was in it last year, because they're playing against the Circa number, which has been battered into shape, so rock solid on a Friday. It's just so hard to win. And the way to win is to bet Monday and have a guy that's spotting the market inefficiencies. I'll use an example. Tomorrow's game, Duke is playing Michigan State. I saw DraftKings, I think, had a 144.5 total, and FanDuel had a 148.5. That's 4-point middle. I mean, it's going to be really hard to lose. And then if you've got an expert to tell you which one of those two is the better of the two plays, you can see how well you're going to do.
Steve, when you look
you
at
still, it, ahead, and sorry, we can do a Q&A. So Steve said we'll open it up, Amal and Dustin as well, for a little Q&A before Steve leaves. And are you still in the camp where, obviously, you're one of the best NFL handicapper on the planet? Do you still have guys across hockey, across college basketball, across myriad sports, where if they give you a play, you just have a trusted circle you're going to fire?
Yes, but it depends when they give me the play. For instance, if someone says, hey, tomorrow, I really like the Celtics over, you know, that's a top play, I'm going to bomb away on that play, whatever I can. If the game's going to go in 10 minutes and they're like, I really like the over, I'm like, eh, not that interested. Because now all of a sudden, and I talked about like the Circa limits, at post, they're taking 200,000 on Buffalo. I don't care who all these experts like. It's like, it's irrelevant, because the market is so large that if there truly was a value bet at that point in time, it would have been taken out, in my opinion, already. So, and also my pet peeve on the day of the game is I don't like this price sensitivity where people are like, play over 46, it's good up to 48. That's a bunch of crap. I mean, it's like, if you're not going to win playing over 48 when the market was sitting there 46 for 2 days. Do you really think that all these other people in the world that bet for a living didn't spot that for 2 days? So usually, if over 46 has value, by the time it hits 47, you're probably going to have to pass at that point. Your edges aren't going to be big enough to overcome, you know, missing out on the best number.
Steve, I think I asked you this a long time ago, so it's not a bad time to revisit. Just give me your take on hedging. What's your personal philosophy on it, when it's applicable, maybe whether you do it or you don't?
Okay, so mathematically, let's say you make a good bet, and let's say you had a game of the year, for instance, on tonight's game, and you played Buffalo minus six. I don't know if that ever existed, all right? And now you're like, well, what do I obviously have a good bet as plus EV. Should I play back on the Denver plus the 7.5? The answer in general would be, well, no, because that's a negative EV bet. Don't like to make negative EV bets. It's not life-changing money. It's just a standard bet. I'll roll with my Buffalo. But now, can I get at Denver in some way that it isn't negative EV? So if the line closes 7.5 and all of a sudden somebody gives me a plus 8, lay 105, that's probably like right around a break-even bet, if not just a tiny minuscule edge such that I wouldn't bet it normally. But I got a minus 6 in my pocket. Why not bet something back the other way, even if it's a break-even bet, to reduce my variance?
Let me expand upon that a little bit. Let's say, for example, the Bengals were playing Buffalo a couple of weeks ago on Sunday Night Football. The line was minus 2 in favor of Cincinnati. Let's say you got the money line at minus 130 or 135. I can't remember what the number was exactly. It might have been 140. Let's say you put 14,000 to win 10,000 on Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And in the game, the Bengals at one point, I think their largest margin might have been 7 or 10 points, whatever it was. But let's say Buffalo in game in the fourth quarter is 3-1 or 4-1, but they were only down 6 points. Would you potentially say, okay, I can bet here $3,500 on Buffalo at 4-1 to mitigate my risk, and I'd still net $6,500, or would you just let it go completely and say, hey, even though it's a bit of a risk, I like my position in the way the game is playing out?
So this comes up all the time. It's a great question. This could be the best question of the session. So, you know, bookmark this one. If you have a big bet on Team A going into a Monday Night Football game, the way to, in my opinion, to manage it is you don't have to just hedge it, you know, before the game starts. You can say, ooh, I got a lot on the Bengals. I'm looking to actively play Buffalo. I don't need to play Buffalo. I like the Bengals. But if ever there's a point during the game that I see a rogue number that's good for the Bills or that helps mitigate my risk, a bet I would make anyways. Well, I'm going to bet quadruple what I would normally bet because now I want to go. If it's a plus EV bet that makes my overall risk less, I'm going to do it. Now, conversely, let's say I like the Bengals. I'm watching the game.
Yeah.
I'm like, they're going to kill them. All right. I'm going to lay 7 with Cincinnati. Now, all of a sudden, you say, you know what? I already got the Bengals.
Right.
So let me scale it way back. If normally I would bet, you know, 2,000 on this bet, I might only bet 500 because I've already got this big bet. Why do I need to like shove with the Bengals with even more exposure?
Why don't we go on out 2 minutes with Steve Fezzik's in-game or live wagering tips? As year to year, as you continue to in-game bet, you're constantly fine-tuning your craft. Any tips for bettors in-game betting?
Sure. Number one thing, if you have to choose which game, because there's different NFL games, obviously, to follow. Same with college. I would always choose an outdoor game versus an indoor game because the indoor game's perfect environment weather-wise. We don't want perfect environment. The ideal situation is a wind tunnel game, 40-mile-an-hour winds going right to left, not crosswind, okay? If it's crosswind, just play the game under. But obviously, whoever gets the ball is going to have a key edge. So you can see, like, a game where the entire first quarter, one team is dominating. Well, of course they're dominating. They got the 40-mile-an-hour wind at their back. The second that they flip it and the other team starts going, it's a time to fire on that team to win the first half. Those would be my favorite games. Lots of weather, outdoors, to in-game wagering, and focus on quarter betting.
Okay. Steve Fezzik. Again, plus 8, minus 110. That is minus 110. So is there a bet tonight, 47.5 on the total? Is there a bet side or total that you'd like to give the audience on the way out?
I'll give it two teamer because it is correlated. I'll go with Denver plus 8. And I'll parlay that to Denver minus 1.5 next week. Some books will let you do it. Some books will not. The idea of the correlation, should Denver cover this game? Hopefully, if they lose by 7, it won't move the number at all. But if it's a really close game, that Denver minus 1.5 will be gone, never to be seen again.
Happy birthday, Steve. Hey, get those CDs that you sent me that one year. and let's repurpose those for a new betting audience. I think you'll make millions. Those CDs taught me a lot. I think you should look into that. I'm serious. Happy birthday, Steve. Pregame.com. We're coming back with our plays tonight.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly over at DraftKings for new customers when you use the promo code SHARP, S-H-A-R-P. You can bet tonight's Monday Night Football game, of course. Just bet $5, get $200 instantly. Also, everybody over at DraftKings, a no-sweat, same-game parlay. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Welcome you back. Thank you to Steve Fezzik for stopping by. Our set there, downtown Las Vegas at the D, Bar Canada, Fremont Street. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson are there. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Amal, you put one on the sheet, but did you want to give it to the listeners as well? I think you got a college basketball play. It goes deep tonight. Go for it.
North Florida taking on South Carolina State. The Bulldogs here. This one's going to be in Orangeburg, South Carolina. The Ospreys, they are laying 4.5 out of the Atlantic Sun tonight against South Carolina State. Patrick, anytime I have an opportunity to bet against a MEAC team, and it's a short number, I'm going to take it. South Carolina State does not shoot the ball well. Not going based necessarily on what they've done so far this year. They're only averaging 58.5 points per game, and they're just shooting the ball at 17% from the three-point line. But these MEAC teams, for some reason, I don't know why good shooting eludes that entire conference.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you very much. And boys, I'm going to start on the handicap tonight. And I'll probably crush myself and we can come on here and talk about what a donk I am tomorrow for doing this. But I'm sorry, I don't get Denver +8. Like, I don't understand why Buffalo right now is laying 8 to anybody. They've had a season from hell on defense with the injuries. And even prior to the injuries, it's not like that defense is overwhelming. And then you take a look at Denver, who it's an offense that hasn't been an issue all year. We know what the issue for Denver's been. But Peyton, I understand that Russell Wilson's not the same player anymore, but they make plays in that Peyton offense. That's not the issue. The issue for the Denver Broncos was what? It was the defense. And of course, starting the year, giving up 70 to Miami is going to hurt perceptively or 3 weeks into the season. But let's think about what the Denver Broncos have done over the past 3 weeks. You go back to Kansas City. When they went to Kansas City, they lost 19-8. At Kansas City, gave up just 19 points. They beat Green Bay 19-17, so gave up just 17. And then they beat Kansas City 24-9. So they gave up just 9 prior to the bye. So they go into the bye, get healthy, take a deep breath after a weird 0-3 start to the season, the Denver Broncos. They're playing their best defense of the year. They've won 2 straight games, got a little bit of a vibe. Conversely, the opposite is true for Buffalo. Again, I think the number should be sub-7. So if we're now jumped to 8, I'll take the Denver Broncos catching 8 points tonight and feel good about it.
I agree with you completely. You look at this Buffalo team after the dominant victory against Miami 48-20, and that was back on October 1st. This team has been just Jekyll and Hyde. They lose 25-20 against the Jaguars. They score 14 against the Giants, and they're fortunate. The Giants' ineptitude down at the goal line, as you guys all remember. They lose the game up in Foxborough, and then 24-18 consecutive scores, one win over Tampa on a Thursday night game. Then they have that a little bit extended period of time off before they play the Bengals. They lose that game 24-18. Now you get the Broncos off of a bye. Patrick, you summarized it perfectly. Denver's defense is the issue, but on the flip side, look, when Edmonds left last year to go to Chicago via free agency, that was a big blow. Matt Milano being out in the middle of that lineup is huge. Tre'Davious White in that secondary is a big blow. This team is not particularly good, and guys, remember one other thing. They don't have a running game. The running game is Josh Allen. You can't consistently rely on him to be effective. 8's a big number here. I don't think Denver's going to necessarily win this football game, Patrick, but I got to tell you, I am not a fan of taking the Buffalo Bills in this spot. It's Denver or no play here.
Yeah, the Bills haven't proven they're a team that can cover that number, especially off the bye for Denver, where things are getting better, as you mentioned, the 2 wins. Also, Buffalo in primetime this year, 0-4 ATS.
And just like to say, sorry to interrupt you, but I would just like to say, against Cincinnati, where, and I think you said it, Amal, did you ever feel like Cincinnati was going to lose that football game when they hosted Buffalo? Well, they should have, because Cincinnati played horribly in the game outside of the first two drives, and Buffalo couldn't do anything against Cincinnati, and that's the last time we saw them. Again, a 24-18, an uninspired win against Tampa Bay at home for Buffalo prior to that. They lost at New England prior to that. Why are they giving eight to anybody?
I think this is where...
I know you've got your props, too. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just real quick, this is where I think the odds makers and bettors sometimes get stuck in their preseason numbers on how they evaluate a team or midway through and don't adjust enough. Buffalo has not shown anything, as you alluded to, Patrick. Look, they should be able to eke out a victory. They're at home in Orchard Park. But the reality of it is, it just doesn't make sense for a team to be laying over a touchdown in this particular spot. It really doesn't. I think the narrative with the Miami Dolphins has been stuck since they lost that game against the Commanders and the Jets, and then, of course, giving up 70 points to the Miami Dolphins. But, you know, people sit there and criticize Russell Wilson. You know, here's the funny thing. Dustin, you sent Patrick and I a message on social media. I think 92% of the bets on Russell Wilson to throw a pick. Why? He's thrown a pick in four games this year. This guy does not have a propensity to turn the football over throughout his career. Give me the plus money price on Russell Wilson, no INT tonight. He's got four picks on the year. Last year he had 11. The previous year he had 6. This is a guy historically in his entire career has never had a single season of more than 13 and only had two double-digit interception seasons. I don't buy it. I think Denver's the play here plus 8.
Yeah, and this Buffalo defense isn't turning people over like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense. It's a perception thing. People just want to be a part of like this narrative and feed into it without looking into it.
You will start with your favorite prop of the night, and it has to do with Dalton Kincaid.
I know Amal's high on him, and if you're watching the way the Buffalo Bills are working, Dalton Kincaid, the rookie,
he's wide receiver too now.
Yeah, into their offense. He's listed as a tight end. He runs tight end routes, but he's basically a wide receiver parading or masquerading as a tight end. His total for receiving yards set at 52.5. The Broncos allow 71 yards per game to opposing tight ends. That is the most in the NFL right now. He's gone over the 52.5 for three straight weeks. Also, I think Allen having an injured shoulder plays into him getting involved more. Less shots to the sidelines, more easy passes over the middle that Kincaid can beat a linebacker or beat a safety to get more yards helps us here. Obviously, no Dawson Knox. Honestly, wouldn't argue with you if you wanted to go alt total 75 plus yards plus 270. I think he's that big of a part of this offense right now.
Patrick, two things. I would make the bet on the alt total over 75.5. It's a bigger number, obviously 23.5 yards more. But two of the last three games, he's been the leading receiver on this team instead of Stephon Diggs.
And I don't think Allen can make those throws anymore right now with the way his shoulder is.
And one other thing I'd add very quickly, generally speaking on a tight end, if you guys notice, you don't get the PI calls the way you do on a deep shot when a safety comes over and you might get a PI and you lose a 40-yard completion. With Dalton Kincaid, you're going to have those short intermediate throws between 8 and 12 yards and then run after catch.
No, I love it. I made the play as Dustin was explaining the reasoning. It's one that I didn't look at earlier today. Good job bringing it to our attention. Next up, big guy.
Samaje Perine for the Broncos, over 12.5 receiving yards. The Bills allow 5.5 receptions to opposing running backs per game. That's the fourth most. They also allow 46.6 receiving yards per game to opposing running backs. That's fifth most in the NFL. Good chance that Denver's going to be coming from behind. So I think they're going to have to throw the ball more. He's explosive catching the ball. Also, his longest reception prop set at only 8.5 yards. I think that's a good angle. I prefer the yards, though, at 12.5 because it's kind of baked in there. If he hits one, he'll probably hit the other. Again, another alt one. I wouldn't argue with 25 plus plus 280 if you're feeling spicy.
I do feel spicy.
Do it then.
The Kincaid one, though, is...
It's my favorite bet of the night.
That's ridiculous.
He is such a big part of this offense. And then because of Allen's hurt in the red zone, I like him to score an anytime touchdown. Plus 125. The RB1 in the red zone. Broncos allow one rushing touchdown to opposing running backs per game. But again, I believe he is more of a running back in this situation once they get down there.
I know you'd prefer to be called another type of hunter, but I'm going to call you the prop hunter. He'll wait for Dustin. He'll figure it out.
Oh, I know. I know who you're talking about. He's a hero of mine. He's on my Mount Rushmore.
I just realized.
Looks like Morgan Spurlock.
I can't believe I'm going to be pulling for Russell Wilson and Sean Payton tonight. But that's the world we find ourselves in tonight. I'm sorry. I don't get the eight. We could look like an idiot tomorrow, but I just don't get that number.
But again, I don't think this is as much as, what was the game we talked about last week on the number? I forgot what it was. Oh, the Bears-Carolina game.
Oh, it's the 3 to 3.5. I can understand 3, but not 3.5.
Exactly. And I don't think this is quite as egregious as that one because it was the Bears. But I'm telling you right now, I'm with you, Patrick. This number, in my opinion, should have been 6. I think it's too much.
8
I think
off that, the bye is yeah, crazy.
6.5, exactly. Yeah.
8 off of the bye is absolutely, also one more prop, James Cook over 58.5 rush yards. Everyone's running all over Denver.
Let him cook. The Kincaid, what is Kincaid prop minus the alt? What's his true number?
The true number is 52.5. The alt is 75
plus. Crazy. Yep. Okay. Good job. Good job, fellas. And Steve Fezzik, thank you for coming down and joining us in studio there at the D. Fellas, good luck on the bets tonight. Amal Shah, Dustin Sweetelson. Again, if you want to sign up, it's vsin.com/subscribe for all the plays. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Sharp Money. It's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.